There's a brand new book, Slightly Bad Girls of the Bible, and Liz Curtis Higg joins us. So these are not the ultimate bad. These are only the slightly bad girls, huh, Liz?
Actually, the truth is, we would probably think of them as the mostly good girls of the Bible. Sarah and Hagar and Rachel and Rebecca and Leah, very, very familiar names. Our church nurseries are full of these women. And so we often think of them in very, how can I say this, kind of plastic terms, these perfect, got it all together women held up as heroines. And then you actually look at their stories in Genesis and you're kind of surprised, if not shocked. She did what? She said what? And so I wanted to look at what they said and did, not to tear them down. That is never my goal. My point is, let's look at who the people of the Bible really were, every one of them flawed. You know, except for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one who is truly good in the Bible. Now, I know that many other the women are positioned as good. I mean, you can't really think of anything bad about Mary or anything bad about Esther or Ruth. I'm pretty convinced they must have done something wrong. It just didn't make the pages of Scripture. But they're human. You know, they're human. Mm-hmm. And it's the humanness that we connect with. The main message, though, not only of Slightly Bad Girls of the Bible, all the other bad girls books, but the message of the Bible is this. Man is flawed. God is flawless. Even Jesus said, only God is good. Only God is good.
Well, I guess let's pick one of the ladies and find out what is it that you think your average churchgoer would be like really surprised and bewildered about, like why this person is even in the book.
Yeah. Well, Sarah probably is the real standout because, of course, in the New Testament, she's included among the Hebrews' honor roll of faith, a woman who was faithful to her husband and faithful to God. Okay, she was. In the long run. But along the way, there's some pretty outrageous scenes. She runs out of patience with God, quite frankly. He says that Abram, at that point still Abram, is going to be the father of many. There's no mention of who the mother will be. And so Sarai, at that point Sarai, decides to take matters into her own hands and says, here, take my maidservant. I got to point out, that was not his idea. That was her idea. This is right after Abram has been named as a man of faith, and it was counted unto him as righteousness, that incredible promise from God. So I want Abram, don't you, to jump up and down and say, wait, babe, that's not the way to do this.
Stop.
Stop. But actually, it says, and Abram did what Sarai said. It's a refrain, quite frankly, through all the patriarchs. And Isaac did what Rebekah said, and Jacob did what Rachel said.
We're browbeaten. It's no.
Well, these were strong-willed women. I think that's one of the reasons I so identified with them, is that these are women very much like a contemporary woman who takes charge, who runs roughshod, frankly, over her husband, turns her back on God for a moment and says, I know a better way. I have a better plan. And of course, her plan wasn't a better plan. But God did not write off Sarah. That's the exciting news. He didn't say, all right, then I'm not going to bless you because you wouldn't wait for me. Later in the Bible and in my book, she even laughs at God. Laughs at God. Laughs at his promises. And then when God catches her in it and says, why did Sarah laugh? She does the most human thing in the world and says, I didn't laugh. I just love that because it's so who we are. And then God in his graciousness, he doesn't let her get away with it. He kind of gives her a little heavenly gotcha. And he says, yes, but you did laugh. So he does, you know, catch her in her lying, catch her in her laughing, but he still blesses her. That's the big aha for me as I studied these women, is even though they were flawed, God loved them and used them anyway. And isn't that good news for us?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.